Hey, today I want to give you an update on our Heart for the House project. We introduced this last fall in October, and it is a renovation project that is going to impact about 45,000 square feet of our 72,000 square feet. And so last fall we introduced it, but I want to give you some pictures just of what is coming. And the first one is this that I want to pause, and they threw it up on the outside screens. So on the left-hand side, we want to move nursery and preschool is at the top of the screen. Rock Kids now consumes that one corner of the that's just first through fifth grade. We want to move everyone to the same corner. A, for convenience. You say, well, why did you spread it out like that to begin with? Because we didn't have access to the whole building. We had tenants, and so we've just grown into that. But also to make it of ease of dropping off kids in the same place, our primary goal, clear back last fall when we started putting this plan together, was for security purposes. And can I say that this week we would appreciate the security purposes even a little greater now with the tragedies that have gone on in our nation, that there will only be two entrances into kids, and our safety team will be there monitoring who has access to our children's department. And so as we go on through the slides, let me just give you a couple of looks. That's some entrances to Rock Kids and auditorium lobby area. We'll be redoing all of this. Keep going. And then where preschool currently is, that's where we're moving our cafe out. We're moving our volunteer room out. We're putting a studio. That's all moving down the hallway. All right, let's go through that. Then where nursery is. Right now, it's right off the lobby, too easily of access to people. We are going to put a cafe. That's where a cafe should be, not a nursery. And so we're going to redo the lobby, keep going. New counters, new check-in counters, new rock, new lobby, new paint, new lightings. There's our cafe. Great place for you to meet with your small group, meet a friend throughout the week, and just a great place to hang out and go together. You're doing awesome. Keep rolling through. Lobby, new furniture. And then we'll pause right here. The red dotted line is the current auditorium. We are blowing that wall out. We are blowing that wall out, and we're blowing from here over, and we're pushing that back to expand our auditorium to make room for more people as we continue to grow. You can keep going. And then the south lobby still has lighting from 1985. There are shop lights in there that when we turn them on, the city goes, hey, Rock Family Church turned their lights on. And they just suck them out of power. So redoing a lot of our lighting throughout the building to get LED that's going to save us. And so keep going on that. We'll show the lobby. We're going to create another meeting space for women's, men's, young adults. It'll look much cooler than that gray wall. And so we're redoing that entire lobby area. Then we are also adding in the south lobby more restrooms. Can I get an amen? Keep going. And we're adding a kitchen, a prep kitchen that will happen over there. And you can keep going on the slides and keep going. That's the south lobby. So we're going to have more restrooms and all that kind of great stuff. Well, we introduced to you back in fall of 2021 that we were going to impact 45,000 square feet and a cost of around $800,000 to $900,000. What three contractors said, generally, this is what it's going to be. They didn't go get hard bids, but here's what we're proposing. So we had a target to shoot for. And lo and behold, Rock Family Church members, you guys have rallied, and we have raised $631,000 in the past 6.5, 7 months, which is out of the park, home run, totally amazing. Well, Pastor Aaron has been leading the charge and helping us get this. And when we saw we're approaching 600,000, we said, let's get hard numbers. Let's make this let's get the a bulk of the heavy lifting done during the summer when we aren't as at higher capacity and use of the facility. So in March, we started asking them for hard bids, real quotes. We are going to move forward. Give us your best number. And so in April of 22, we received bids from three general contractors, and the bids went as high as $1.7 million compared to $800,000 or $900,000. One of our contractors here in the church was a part of a city project that was originally billed at $25 million and came in at $60 million. So you can see what is happening there. Well, we have pursued getting the final plans done, all of the things pulled. We are now pulling city permits, and we've selected a contractor, and the actual cost for us for the GC and all of the construction is $1,494,260. And so we are grateful for what we have. It leaves us a difference of $863,260. No problemo for my big, big God. Amen. So this week, the board of directors met, and we unanimously voted to move forward with this two-phase project with moving forward with phase one. We have the cash in hand. We can get some heavy lifting done, focusing on starting on the children's project. As we investigated, as you would expect, why is this so much more? Material costs have gone up. Labor cost has gone up severely in all of that. And then plus we had things that when we pulled a permit on this 35, 37-year-old building, they said, oh, and since you're not just changing a classroom, but you're impacting the whole velocity of the building, you have a mandatory fire alarm update, and that's a price tag of $126,000 for our GCs to upgrade our fire alarm. That's a good thing. Praise the Lord, but it's something we have to do. So here's what we are going to do. We are going to trust God. We are going to believe in the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and we are going to put our faith together. We have church in the middle of where we're already at. We have raised $630,000. That is a win. We can do it. Amen? So, the board has authorized to move forward with phase one. If we can move forward with phase two right after this first phase, we can have this project completed this year, and we're ready to launch in 2023 with all new interior facilities, classrooms, cafe, and ready expanded auditorium, ready to meet the masses. And so the board feels with the cash we have, we like to do things with cash. We're Dave Ramsey-ish. We like to do things with cash. We're going to move forward with the first portion of the project. And we are trusting for before we will say yes to the second half, we're trusting for the finances to be moving in. We're trusting in your goodness and your faithfulness. And I'll talk about you in a minute. But as well, the board of directors has some insight on some things that God is orchestrating that could ultimately help us with this project. And so we see that it's a good time to move. So what about you? I'm going to be blunt. We're in an all-time high inflation. Gas prices are soaring. Grocery prices are soaring. We don't have enough baby formula. And money is extremely tight. And if you think I'm going to be a pastor that sits up here and says, give us $100, $1,000, arm twisting, I'm not going to do that. Okay? I'm going to keep this real simple. No arm twisting, no sob stories. I'm going to trust God with you. This is not my baby to believe God for. This is our baby to believe God for. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do two things. So that $865,000 that we need, we really need a million, because that doesn't include, we have to upgrade the sound system when we expand. We have to add a sound system to the south lobby. We need to multiple furniture for the lobby, decor for the children's. There's about another 150 plus thousand. We need $1 million, folks, to really crank it in. That's a million people with a dollar or one person with one check. We're open. A million people with a dollar, that's pretty easy, right? We just need a million friends. Here's all I'm going to ask you to do. Number one, will you pray and trust God with us and pray for $1 million to come in? Easy peasy. Number two, I'm not going to ask you to tap your budget. If some of you look and you say, hey, man, if we could give a little bit per month over the next 6 months, great. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to simply ask you, I know finances are tight. I'm going to ask you to pick an amount, either weekly, monthly, or a one-time gift that you say, God, we as a household would like to give X amount. Would you bring in the extra resources to help us to do it? Okay? I'm not asking you to pinch. I'm not asking you to not feed your babies. I'm saying, could you say to God, help us give? Could you look in your drawer, pull out that old iPhone that you think no one wants, and someone will buy it on Facebook Marketplace for $75? It's doing nothing in the drawer. It could help buy a chair for Rock Kids if we put it into the building project. I'm asking you to pray and ask for God to bless you in your job, that if you meet your sales quota for the month and there's 4 days left in the month, say, hey, God, the next sale goes to Heart for the House. You be creative. It's up to you. We're not asking you to sign anything, commit to anything, other than I commit to pray and I commit to ask God to let his blessings flow through me. Is that fair? And together we can see it happen. Amen. Father, I thank you that you are our source. You are our strength. And we set our eyes, our hope, and our faith upon you. And we ask that you would meet and supply all of our needs for this project. We highly value our children. We highly value the ministry to them. And we thank you that the provision is there for the vision. So, Lord, we cast our care upon you and we say, God, work through us. Bring the finances that are needed. Bless our home. Bless our hands. Bless our businesses. Bless our jobs. Bless all that we set our hand to so that we can be blessed, so we can be a blessing. And so, Lord, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Can I tell you, just before we shift gears and jump into the Word, we highly, highly value specifically our church safety, but our children's safety. And in light of all that's happening, I do want you to know there's a reason you see a police car out there every single Sunday and a uniformed officer in here in our lobby every week. We believe in that safety. We could hire the officer. They don't volunteer. We pay them. We could hire the officer and we could save money and his car wouldn't be sitting out front. We want the car out front to be a visual deterrent. There is law enforcement within that building. It's not meant to scare you or intimidate you. It's meant to reassure you. Pastor Aaron leads our safety team with multiple leaders in this church. And I can tell you that we have a very highly active and engaged safety team. And they are prepared. Can I just say they are prepared for what occasions may arise, and they are prepared to handle those situations. And our goal is that we are watching all of our doors and entrances, and our goal is that we stop somebody or something that would try and cause harm before they ever get in the building, and to be a defense for that. So rest assured, you might not see multiple, you might not see and know who people are. You might see that greeter at the door and they're smiling and shaking your hand. They have a dual purpose and they are prepared. Amen? Let's get into the Word of God. Amen. We're glad you guys are here. Get out your Bibles, get out your notes. If you're joining us online, you can always download the notes and follow along with us at rockfamilychurch.com and our live stream page. You can get all that good stuff there. We've been talking about the supernatural power of God functioning and operating in our daily lives. If you missed the last couple of weeks, please go back and watch and enjoy those pieces. We've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And I'm excited to hear the multiple stories of people saying, yes, I'm embracing and allowing God to work and to pray through me. Today we're talking about supernatural prayer. Real power for real life in the prayer zone. But one of the things that happens is so many of us really aren't confident in our prayer time. We're actually so non-confident that we don't even bother to pray because we don't think our prayers will make a difference. We don't think our prayers will change. We've prayed before and we didn't see anything happen, so therefore we're like, why bother? And it's become more convenient to use prayer as gossip. To say, did you hear about Brother Blakely? He needs prayer. Yes, he does. Let me tell you, why does he need prayer? Oh, I have all the details on why he needs prayer. We don't have an intent to help them by releasing the supernatural power of God. We use it as a spiritual gossip chain. We need to stop it. Okay? We need to really be a people of prayer. Why? Because prayer is releasing the power of God here on this earth. It's partnering with God. It's saying, God, I want you involved in my life. I want you involved in my world. And he's given us the authority. We'll dive into that. He's giving us the authority to release his power. And we have to be the ones, his agents, his ambassadors here on this earth to function and to operate and to utilize that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says this, don't worry about anything. I need to pause. Don't worry about gas prices. Don't worry about food prices. Don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about inflation. Don't worry about what you don't have. Instead, pray about everything. Turn all of your efforts of worry into prayer. Whenever the thought comes, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're going to pray. Oh my gosh, the price, you pull up to the pump. And while you're pumping, just, God, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that you are supplying all of my needs. I pray for Russia and Ukraine. I speak peace over them. Do you realize within 24 hours, if that war wasn't happening and things settled down, there is no shortage of gas, folks. Okay, it's not a shortage, it's a supply chain issue. And that if the things change in different nations, all of a sudden the supply chain issue opens up and prices are pushing back down. So we need, but what good would my little prayer do? What good would my little prayer do? It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Here's what the Apostle Paul is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Tell God what you need, but don't be that needy little selfish kid. Be grateful and thankful for the things that God has done for you. Amen. Don't just, I need. No, come into his courts with thanksgiving and bring that praise out. Enter and say, God, I thank you for what I do have. I thank you that I do have a place to live. I thank you that I do have a car that functions. I thank you that I do have good health. Now, there's some issues, there's some challenges, but I'm thankful. Yes. And then bring and present your need. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Amen. Now, what good does my little prayer make? Point number one on your notes today, our prayers have a greater impact than we see or know. Yes. Don't bother to pray. It won't make a difference. Look, you prayed before and nothing happened. And the enemy comes and he lies to each one of us. Yes. And he tells us lies because he wants to stop us from praying because I believe this, the devil has more faith in our prayers than we do sometimes. Because he knows he needs to shut us down. Because if we pray, we're releasing God's power on the earth, and he knows that he's in trouble. And so Jesus called him a liar and the father of lies. And so if he can only speak lies, Jesus said there is no truth in him. So when that little voice comes on your shoulder and says, don't bother to pray, nothing can happen. Is that truth or a lie? Well, I'm going to show you the truth today. But by the word of God, we identify that that's a lie. That the truth is when I pray, big things happen. So I turn the lie around and I discover the truth. Somebody doesn't want me to pray because he knows that things are going to change and transform. So I need to pray. Pray about everything, worry about nothing. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. If you're going through a hard time, pray. Are any of you happy? You should pray. Sing praises. What is he saying? Give that thanksgiving to God. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Watch this. And such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Next Sunday, we're talking about supernatural healing. You got to be here. I'm going to share a couple stories that are crazy amazing. I'm not going to tell you now. You got to come back. And the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. God says, I love you so much. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to fix the outside. And I'm going to forgive all of your sin. I'm going to clean up and fix the inside too. So it goes on and it says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. The Lord will make you well, and if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Amen. Prayer offered in faith. What is that? What does that mean on your notes? Faith is functioning as though you have it before you can see it. Yes. It's believing something that you can't comprehend with your physical senses. Hebrews 11:1 puts it this way. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence. It's the proof of the things we cannot see. So what do we hope for? Well, we hope that before Project One is done, enough finances have come in that we can commit to the second half of the project on the Heart for the House project. We believe that when phase one is done, we will see enough traction and movement that we say, hey, we got this. We're going to finish this up. We're gonna complete this. We hope for it, but faith gives us substance, evidence. It gives us confidence that what we can't see is going to happen. The doctor says you have cancer in your body. You hope to be healed, and faith says, I'm going to give confidence to what you're hoping for. The Amplified Bible gives it clarity. Watch this. Now, faith is the assurance. And I love this. It's the title deed. It's the confirmation of things hoped for. I love this. Divinely guaranteed. Amen. And it's the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So now, let's say you're a good Dave Ramsey financial peace person and you're trying to get out of debt and you got rid of all your $700, $800 a month car payments and cars and you got rid of those and you got what Dave would call a beater. You picked up a car for $3,500. It takes a quart of oil every 3 days. But baby, that car gets you around and you owe nothing on that bad boy. And man, it's doing the job. You know, it's not one of those rides that you really go downtown on Friday night and, you know, kind of challenge other people, but it gets you where you want to go. But then it gives up the Holy Ghost, gives up the ghost, and it's dead. And you had it towed to the mechanic, and mechanic says, I took it out back, I shot it. It's gone. You don't have a car. And I hear about your need. And I just happen to have a Tesla I'm not using. Just go with it, all right? I have a Tesla I'm not using. Kim and I have a spare. Now, if any of you are getting wigged out, we don't have any. It's just a story, all right? Somebody's like, Pastor has a Tesla, and his wife has one too, and they have a spare. All right, no. I can see the Google review now. We have a spare Tesla. I hear of your need. Gas is expensive. Why? I have an extra. Why wouldn't I give it to you? So I come by and I pick you up. I take you to Starbucks. We sit down. We grab a coffee. I begin to ask. You say, you know, I've got just $8,000 more of debt to be paid off. School loans are paid off. Credit cards are paid off. We've been living it. We've been in it. And man, God has been doing so much. But I need money for a car, and I need a car. So right now I'm Ubering it. And I'm catching people on DoorDash Drive, and you know, I ride with them to wherever they go and get out. And I look at him and I said, and I pull out of my pocket and I pull out the title to that 2022 Tesla that I don't need. And I say, you know what? God has challenged Kim and I that we want to give you the Tesla. And you're like, no way. Yes, you just plug it in. It's great. And so I turn it over, and Kim's already signed it, and I sign it, and I put your name in as the buyer. I'm the seller, and I put in the cost zero, and so there'll be no tax for you to get it licensed in your name, titled in your name. And I say, now here's the deal. One of my kids went to Texas to see family, and it's Sunday afternoon, but they're not going to be home till Friday with it. I'm going to give you the title. It's yours, and when it gets home, we'll deliver it. You leave that coffee, you're on social media, you are lighting it up. I just got a new Tesla! I have it! You know, people are like, what color is it? And you're like, I'm not sure yet. And then you read on the title, oh, it's white. Okay, and how many miles does it have on it? 3,000. This is amazing! And everyone's like, I want to see it. Come by and pick me up. And you say, well, I don't have it yet. Well, what do you mean you don't have it? Well, it isn't here yet. It's coming. But how do you know you have one? Well, because I have the title and it's been signed over to me. But what does that prove? How do you know it's really yours? Dean said that. No. He didn't just say it. He signed the title. And if he doesn't bring it to me Friday, I call the city and police department and we go pick up my car because I'm in duly authorized. It is my car. He signed it over. It's a legal document.
That's right.
And it can't be taken back.
Yeah.
I hope you're making the connection. Faith is your title deed.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
There's sickness in my body. Oh, but you still have symptoms. Yes, I do. But by the title of my Savior Jesus, he signed the title deed that said, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. He took the stripes on my back. He signed the title deed. Healing isn't something I hope for. Healing is something I have a title deed for. God meeting, supplying my needs is not something I just go wishy, wishy, wishy on a tree. I have the title deed that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have confidence even though I can't see it and I can't feel it. I have confidence because I have confidence in the written, living word of God, and his promises are true and they will not fail and they will not cease and they will not end. So tell everyone,
yes.
I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm well. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us this, for we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. So on your notes, I'm not moved by what I see, I am moved by what I believe.
Amen.
We are moved as a church that we are going to finish this project cash paid for in full, in Jesus' name. Because your prayers make a difference. James chapter 5, verse 16, let's finish that chapter. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. Watch this. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Well, if pastor prays, big things happen. No, when you pray, everyday ministry by everyday believers, when you pray and you lay hands on the sick, miracles happen. When you pray for Ukraine, things happen. When you pray for the economy, things happen. When you pray and release the power of God, things change. Number two, prayer is a lifestyle, not an event. Everyone's like, when are we going to get together in churches to pray? When are we going to pray as a church? Will we pray on Wednesday nights? We pray on Sunday mornings. We have prayer times for corporate prayer, and that's valuable. But the most valuable thing is that prayer is not an event we go to. Prayer is not something I do when I lay me down to sleep, or prayer is not just one time in the morning. Prayer is a lifestyle. It's something I do all throughout my wakeable hours. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, never stop praying. Pastor Gerald says this. He said, I never pray longer than 10 minutes, and I never go longer than 10 minutes without praying. We pray. Ephesians 5:18 says this. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Yes. I hear a siren. I pray. I see an accident. I pray. I see something on social media. I pray. Well, I don't know that person. I don't know who that uncle, that nephew, that sister that's involved in whatever issues, problems, crisis at hand. I don't know them, but I can stop and I can say in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for little Billy's healing. I pray for Aunt Karen's needs to be met. Amen. And I join in corporate prayer with others. Now watch this. It says, pray in the Spirit. We've been talking about praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. Do you know I can clean out my email box while praying in other tongues? I can consciously be going, trash, 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 trash. Ooh, I'll read that one in a minute. And the whole time I'm praying in the Spirit. Because why? Because we said praying in the Spirit. The words, sounds, and syllables rise out of your heart. It doesn't come from your head. I can drive. I can fix breakfast. I can create a lifestyle of prayer. And then as I'm fixing breakfast, I can pray with the understanding. Lord, I pray over my kids today. Lord, I pray over my business. I pray over my transportation today. Releasing the power of prayer. I pray for my president today. I pray for the Supreme Court justices today. And I pray that you give them wisdom, insight, and understanding. I pray that godly men and women are giving them good counsel. Well, my prayer won't change that. Well, thank you for your faith, Thomas, but it will. Okay? Number three, the Holy Spirit will assist us to intercede and pray for others. The Holy Spirit assists us in prayer. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. And then it says, intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Verse 2 says, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Now, I'm just going to tell you, the current assessment of our nation today is not peaceful and quiet with godliness, marked with godliness and dignity. Yeah. And I have some good news for you. It's not the Republicans and it's not the Democrats. It's not the independents. It's not white folk, black folk, Asian folk, Hispanic folk. It's not, we can't point a finger on anyone other than this. Scripture says that when we pray for all people all the time, pray for kings and all in authority over us, it says when Christians pray, when believers will fulfill the word of God, the result will be we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. The current situation of our nation is a result of a church that doesn't embrace prayer.
Yeah, that's right.
Our current fruit of our nation, I believe, is a result of a lack of prayer by we the church. And so I want to start a little fire. I want to start a hot spot, a prayer hot spot in Colorado Springs, in our little neck of the neighborhood. I want to start a little forest fire. What if we as a church start praying daily for over our nation, over our leaders, praying for the economy, praying for gas prices to come down? I don't know how they need to come down, but Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. You know how to pray to get the gas prices down. You know what needs to move where and when and who needs to move what to get the gas prices down. Holy Spirit, help me to pray.
Amen.
And what if we tapped into that? The word intercede means to intervene on the behalf of one another. Intercession is prayer or petition, request or entreaty in favor of another.
Amen.
So this means praying for your family, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers. This prayer isn't easily satisfied. When a prayer of intercession, you'll have a burden or an urgency to pray, and you'll pray with your understanding as you know how, but when you don't, you say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. And then in Colossians chapter 4, here's what Paul wrote about Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. That wrestling is an intercession. But all too often we have a burden or urgency to pray, and we don't. I'm so thankful that Kurt and Loretta's niece is alive today because they prayed. Watch this story.
Hi, my name is Kurt Nelson.
I'm Loretta Nelson. We wanted to share our story with you. One Saturday morning, I woke up and was filled with a spirit of fear, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, but I had this vision of an airplane crashing. And my husband was in Washington, D.C. at the time. This was before cell phones, and I called him in his hotel, but there was no answer. My first thought was to go to the television and check to see if there was a plane crash. There was nothing. So this was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I just was becoming kind of fearful, and so I began to pray in the spirit. But I wasn't sure what to pray, so I just began to pray and pray and pray. About 4 hours later, I finally got a hold of my husband.
I also had the same sort of foreboding, and it was very much a sense of there's an airplane and it's going to crash, and I'm in this building near the airport. So I felt it critical at that point to just get the heck out of the hotel. And again, there was this sense of something really bad is going to happen, but I'm not sure what. So, but rather than let my mind get in the way, I decided I was just going to pray in the spirit. I prayed until I felt like everything was going to be okay. And that was about the same time that my wife got the same sort of sense.
So it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I happened to talk to my sister, and I wanted to tell her about it, but I didn't know if she'd understand. And so she told me that her daughter, Marilee, was on the East Coast in Florida, and she was going to get on a plane with her friend who was going to fly the airplane. And anyway, so the plane went down. So I did get a chance to talk to Marilee later, and I said, Marilee, you know, can you tell me what happened? She goes, I was in Florida with some friends, and he was taking different people up, and then it was my turn, and I just didn't feel like I should go. And she said, I just was fearful and I was holding back. So I asked her, about what time did you finally say, you know, I need to not go? And she said it was at 4 o'clock at the time God gave us the release to stop praying. I mean, many times this has happened where God will say, I need you to pray now. This is urgent.
So I think that that praying in the Spirit for us has been one of the key parts of our life. I've been saved now for about 48 years. Oddly enough, about the same amount of time that I've been married. So I guess I have somebody to blame for that. We've been fortunate to have learned about and to be filled with the Spirit kind of in all that time. And using that ability to pray and that power to pray in a tongue that we don't have to get, where our mind doesn't have to get in the way, and where we don't have to figure out exactly what's going on. But at the same time, knowing that the power of God is reaching through and touching and doing the things that it's supposed to do.
Amen. Their prayers. Go ahead and clap. That's cool. Their prayers changed the destiny of their knees. The Spirit of God said she's about to step into a dangerous situation. Pray. They didn't know it was their niece. They didn't know who what it was, but they said, I'm going to pray. That's the response that we have to have when the Spirit knocks on the door of our heart. Yes. What does the Scripture teach us? Romans chapter 8. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads. Other translations say, intercedes for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Let's wrap it up. Last point today, number 4. We must pray with authority. We must pray with authority. Too many times, here's the way we come to God. Oh God, I know I haven't been in church as much as I mean, I'm coming back this next week. But and Lord, I haven't read your word, and Lord, I know we haven't really been on the best of grounds, and so I sheepishly kind of come in, and God, if it wouldn't be too much to ask, if it'd be just a favor. That's not the way we were told to pray. Jesus put it this way in John 16. He said, at that moment in that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request. Why? Because you use my name. Amen. Verse 24. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. What stops us from praying is our goodness and our badness meter. I'm not going to pray because of my goodness meter isn't up there really high. But you have to realize you're not coming in your goodness. You're approaching the throne of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, the perfect one, the sinless one. You're coming in his name. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. So let us come boldly, not skittish. Come boldly to the throne of God, our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. We walk in as blood bought, paid for, sacrificed for, children of the Most High God, sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He rises from the grave. I've been given all authority on heaven and earth. Then look what he says. Therefore, go. What is he saying? Hey, I came back with the keys of heaven and hell. I'm empowering you. You take the keys. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. He said, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Message Bible puts it this way. It says, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet. So on your notes, last blank, but don't shut me down. I'm not done yet. We have been authorized and deputized to function on this earth with his name. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Well, some people know me in the city. But let me just back it up. Let's say you're getting in your car after service, and a car pulls up behind you, and a man gets out, and he walks up, and he taps on your window, and he said, sir, I need you to step out of your car and place your hands on the roof. And you're like, who are you? He's a plainclothes man in a plain car. And you're like, sorry, could you move your car? I'm hungry. I'm going to lunch. You're like, on what authority do you have? He reaches in his back pocket and he says, sir, I'm CSPD. I'm plainclothes. A car of this make and color was involved in a crime last night. Would you please step out of the car? And then he's got his hand back here like he's got a pain in his back. And I don't think it's a pain. Would you please step out of the car? If I'm you in the car, when I see the badge, now he's approaching under a whole new authority. See, I just thought he was a guy coming and saying, could you get out of the car? No, I don't want to. Thank you very much. Move. Now he's not coming in his name. He's not coming in his authority. He's coming representing the power of the city of Colorado Springs. And if I reject his authority, I face the power of the Colorado Springs entire police department. Yes. Now, some people know me because I pastor a church. And every now and then, officers see me. And they're like, that's Dean Hawk. I want to pull him over and talk to him. And so they flash their lights. They get really excited that they see me. And they pull me over. And they come up and they go, can I see your license and registration? Oh, you don't go to Rock Family Church and you just wanted to see me? No, sir, I don't know who you are. You get my point of why they stopped me. I didn't pull over. If you honk your lights and flash your lights at me, I'm not going to pull over. But when they wear the badge and they're driving a car, they pull me over under a whole new authority. Well, here's what you need to understand. Jesus has authorized and deputized you to function in his name here on this earth. You don't function by your goodness or badness. You don't say the principalities and powers work in darkness. You need to stop it. And they go, who are you? Paul, I know. Peter, I know. But who are you? You come in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And see, I can't say to the officer, have you never speeded? Have you never speeded? And he says, well, it's not about me. It's about what you did and didn't do, and I'm coming under the law. See, it's not about my goodness. It's not about whether I sinned or I didn't sin. I might have sinned this morning, and I'm praying. I don't come out of my goodness or my own righteousness. I come out of the righteousness that Jesus paid for me. And I'm washed and I'm cleansed and I'm purified. And I speak to principalities and powers and works of darkness. And I command them to go. I break spiritual darkness and spiritual strongholds over our nation in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Luke chapter 9, let's wrap it up. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus said, look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Last scripture, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Check this out. Then Jesus asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Is he building his kingdom on Peter?
No,
he's building on what Peter said. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the one that is all-encompassing. You are the victorious one. That's what we build our confidence on. Look at verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. Whatever you forbid, other translations say bind on earth, will be forbidden or bound in heaven. And whatever you permit or loose on earth will be permitted and loosed in heaven. Jesus said, I give you the keys. I give you the authority of the kingdom of heaven. I give you power to function and to operate, not in your ability, but in my ability, in my authority. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark 16, 17, 18. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Would you stand to your feet, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for the ability to pray. Thank you for the ability to release the power of heaven here on this earth, that we have been ordained, called, separated to function as your ambassadors here on this earth, that we will fulfill the purpose of God, and we will release the power of prayer in our own lives, in our families, in our friends, in our co-workers, over our city, over our state, over our nation. And that literally our prayers, there is no separation in the spirit of time or distance, that our prayers can impact people literally on the other side of the world. So Father, inspire us to pray always, and to turn our worry into something proactive, and that's called prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Before we go, I've learned this. Every single Sunday, there are people in this room that have not made Jesus the Lord of their life. And I want to make sure, before you go spend your holiday and do your thing and chill and enjoy the day and tomorrow, I want to make sure that every single person here has surrendered and given your heart and life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Why would I do that? Why would I want to do that? You don't know what I have planned for this weekend yet. I know this, that none of our days are guaranteed, and that all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and will be judged not by our works, but whether our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How does it get there? By believing in my heart, faith, and declaring with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says we will be saved. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't do good enough long enough. It's a gift from God, but you have to say, yes, Lord, I want you. I'm going to count to three. If you're not where you know you could or should be, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when we hit three. This place is going to cheer and celebrate for you. Someone will come and pray with you right where you stand. On the count of three, will you make Jesus the Lord of your life today? Let's go for it. Let's make that step of faith. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed the service. If you live here in Colorado Springs or you're going to be in the city, I hope that you'll come and experience the service firsthand. And for those of you that are enjoying the ministry and you're being fed to on a weekly basis, I invite you to partner with us financially and make an investment into the mission and the vision of Rock Family Church. And lastly, if you've never made a commitment and a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, would you make that decision today? Why wait till tomorrow? Why wait till next weekend? I dare you to pray this prayer with me. Would you close your eyes? Would you pray this prayer with me and repeat it? It goes like this. Pray this with me. Say, dear God, forgive me of all of my sins and mistakes. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I invite him to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me. My life is now in your hands. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Hey, thanks for making that commitment. Will you email us at info@rockfamilychurch.com? Tell us about your new decision to stand up big and live strong for Jesus Christ. We'd love to celebrate with you. God bless you guys. We'll see you next weekend.